The radio station for all of UK scouting.
For scouts by scouts.
Online and on your smart speaker.
Scout Radio Stories.
Hello, I'm Oliver and this is your Pride special of Scout Stories. I'm coming to you from my flat in Brighton and it's currently sunny, which is it's against the weather forecast, but we'll see how long that stays. If you're coming over from Pride Live, thank you so much for sticking around. But if you're just tuning in, you're in for an absolute treat. I'm joined today by Ben Hodge, and I'll be chatting to him about his experiences, and we'll be swapping stories as transgender men within the Scout Association. Ben's got a whole host of stories. He's been a youth commissioner, he's organised Pride events for the Scouts, and he's given an address in Parliament. So, without further ado, let's say hi. How are you, Ben? How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing good, thanks. I'm really warm. It's really hot today.
It is very hot.
It is. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How have you been during lockdown? What sort of things have you been up to?
Well, it's been rough, to be honest. But I think it's true for everyone where, you know, not everyone's had a great sort of experience with it. I had to finish my second year of university in lockdown. And then we had to make a film in lockdown, which was an experience, but it actually turned out all right. So, you know, it's quite cool. But other than that, I've just been sort of playing Animal Crossing and sort of just waiting.
So have you been doing any filming, or are you doing like filming inside your house or anything, or have you been able to get out to film?
Yeah, well, it was like, so we had to, so the film that we made, basically, this girl who was our actress, we got her to do it on her iPhone, so we got, like, the mics and stuff all sent to her house, and then her sister just, like, press record, and there was, like, the whole crew was on a video call to just, like, kind of direct and go through any, like, issues and things like that. It was crazy.
Oh, God.
And then... Yeah, and then the editors had to like then download all the footage onto each of our computers and then upload and download and upload and download. It was a process, but you know what? It actually turned out okay. So, you know, I don't mind too much.
That's brilliant. God, it's a bit like the Archers now. They've been doing everything.
Yeah. It's a bit crazy, but you know, we get through it.
So you finished your second year now?
Yeah, going into third. Oof.
What are you studying at uni?
I do media and performance in Manchester, actually. So,
your general background in scouting, how did you get involved?
Well, I started out as a rainbow and a brownie. So I went to them for up until I was about nine, maybe. About nine, and then I quit because obviously, like, it was a bit too, like, quote unquote, girly for me.
Yeah.
And it was very sort of focused on, like, sort of being a female, which I wasn't.
Yeah.
I didn't know that I was trans at the time, but I knew it wasn't right for me, so I left. And I went to. It's quite a weird story, really. I went to a Marks and Spencer's and there were scouts doing backpacking. Someone was talking to me about that outside and went, oh, I want to do that. So we got in touch with like the scout hub, which turned out to be like right across the road from me. And that was 10 years ago now that I joined as a cub. Yeah, and then 6 months later I joined scouts and it just all sort of happened from there, really. So that was how I first got involved, and you know, I've not really looked back since. It was one of the best decisions I think I've ever made.
That's incredible. I think we've got a really similar story, because I started out in brownies and rainbows, because my mum was the brownie leader.
And then
And then I joined at Explorer level. So that's insane. I didn't realise you'd done guiding before.
Yeah, it was a few years ago, but I'd say that I know I have some friends who are still in guides or have done guides in different sort of units, and I think what I like a lot more about and what I can appreciate a lot more now about girl guiding is there's a lot, because when I did it, it was very much that like we kind of just did like, oh, crafts dance and singing songs and all, all that. And it was very sort of like, very sort of that traditional sort of gendered activities. Whereas now, I know from like being at Pride and things like that, and like, you know, just looking at the different campaigns, like working with them, you know, I appreciate the focus now a lot on female empowerment and like helping each other and like learning those important skills. So I think like I kind of appreciate them more now. And I think if I joined now, even if I, you know, I still would have transitioned, definitely. But like, I think I could appreciate it a bit more than I did back then.
So I can see that you're a youth commissioner. How did you get into that? Did someone just turn around and be like, I think you'd be really great for this? Or did you think this is something I've always wanted to do?
Yeah, well, I left, I think I finished about a year ago now as a youth commissioner. Basically, our first youth commissioner, who was like a really great guy, he stepped down from the role and they were looking for a new one. And I'd been very involved with, like, we had like a youth, what should we call ourselves now? Like a youth support network or like a youth advisory network, where we sort of would kind of help things in the county. We'd be like the young people who would represent things. We'd be like the young people who would, you know, go out and meet community partners, who we had through A Million Hands. So that was us. And I was really involved through that as well. So from there, I obviously knew about the opening. So I applied and I like, you know, got in touch with our like current commissioner and was like talking to him about it as well. And I went for an interview, and I went with my like plans that I had, got the interview, and then later that evening I found out I got it, so I was youth commissioner. I think I held that role for about, I think it was about 2 years maybe, and then obviously because I moved to Manchester to be at university, it was really difficult for me to keep sort of in the loop. And that was no fault of anyone's in my county. It was the fact that I obviously moved away, so couldn't be as involved. And I ended up stepping down, which I think was after speaking to my county commissioner, and we had a conversation about it, which was really helpful and really good. You know, we found that was probably the best way to move forward. And I just sort of keep involved on like a sort of, you know, as and when I'm home sort of level. And my two deputies both interviewed, and as well as some other people, and they both got it. So you know, it was quite good because these people who had sort of supported me now took that next step up, and I'm really glad they did, because they're doing a brilliant job, like an amazing job, better than I could have ever done. So that was sort of my journey with that.
That's awesome. So if you could do anything differently in your youth commissioner role, Would you have done anything differently in your, I don't know, like, I'm not 100% sure on the role. Like, what sort of things can you do? Like, do you get invited to events and stuff to participate as a youth commissioner? Or do you help with the planning?
Yeah, I did go to a few events and, like, you know, did some, you know, like, workshops for people and sort of, you know, sat on the executive and, you know, did these things where, like, I was kind of, in a way, like, the voice for young people, sort of putting across to all these adults who were helping manage the movement, what was coming from, like, a young person's perspective. I think I would have liked it, looking back on it, I definitely would have liked to have done a lot more outreach work, and I think I would have liked to have done a lot, because I did plan to like visit groups, and I did want to sort of visit groups and talk about Youth Shape a bit more, talk about sort of do sort more sort of things for Youth Shape Month and things like that. And I think because when, you know, sort of the bulk of the time when I was comfortable in my youth commissioner role, I was also doing my A-levels and I had some like health issues going on, as well as like, you know, coming through the initial stages of starting testosterone, so going through those initial stages of puberty. It was kind of one of them where at that point where I sort of found momentum, all these other things were happening as well, so I couldn't give it 100%. So I think if I was to go back, I'd definitely want to like try and be a bit more proactive with it, for sure.
Yeah. So you said that you've finished that role now, and now you're in Manchester. Are you with a group in Manchester?
I have, like, at the minute, I've not really scouted as much as I really would like to. So I was with a group in Fallowfield, which when you live in Salford is a bit of a way away. And I was going like after university into Fallowfield to this group, and they were a lovely group, lovely bunch of kids. And I was an assistant scout leader there, but I ended up having to stop because again, like university sort of got on top of me.
Yeah.
So like at the minute, I sort of keep close with my old explorer unit and kind of help them every so often as an assistant explorer leader. You know, before the pandemic and stuff, when I was home, I would help as an assistant Cub Scout leader at the group that I started at. So I kind of, I've kind of almost in a way stopped for the minute and like paused scouting for the minute just to sort of get university going. And then I think once I've sort of settled and I've, you know, kind of gotten things like, I don't know, like a job and like sort of found my place wherever I end up living and found how I want to sort of progress with myself, I think I definitely want to go back to scouting because I do miss it and I do miss the people. And it's just something that sometimes I'm like, oh, I really want to go on one of those camps again, or I really want to just like, you know, mess about playing like games or whatever. So yeah, so that's like me at the minute, but I still like scouting took up so much of my life and I want it to take up so much more, definitely.
Yeah, I think it's such a going to university is like being sucked out of your life, and you sit there like scouting was like everything and now there's nothing.
Yeah.
Have you got any Sago units around you?
Yeah, so I so we did set up one at my university because we didn't have one. There was Manchester Sago, but because I'm in Salford, they felt that like especially in Salford that there wasn't really a good sort of Sago connection there because everything was quite central, so I was a part of that. But I've really sort of around the time that it was set up, I was the wellbeing officer, and when they were meeting, I joined the university navy unit at that time, and it was really difficult because I really wanted to do the navy stuff because I really liked sailing, and that was, and that stemmed from something I did with scouts as well. So at the time I had to sort of give that up, but I think I do want to go back because it's, you know, I think it's the one connection I sort of have scouting at university right now. But again, I'm still friends with the people that did that, and I'm still friends with like the chair and things like that. I don't know if he's continuing as chair. I hope he is. But I'm still friends with those people too.
Awesome. So I think it's time for a song. I asked you before we came on, yeah, if you had any songs that you wanted to play. So do you wanna introduce this first song that you want to have on?
Yeah, so this one is a classic, I'd say. It's very much sort of, I'd call it a pride song. I think if you haven't heard Wuthering Heights by Kate Bush, where are you? What are you doing? You know, just sort yourself out.
Yeah.
Just sit here for 3 minutes and just listen because it's incredible.
The soundtrack to your scouting.
Scout Radio.
Who it gets down.
The soundtrack to your scouting.
Scout Radio Stories.
So seeing as it's the Pride special of Scout Stories, I sort of wanted to ask you about your coming out experience and sort of when you started to work out that you're transgender and part of the LGBT community, and how that sort of fed into your scout life, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think from the beginning. So, I mean, up until about 13, 14, I didn't really think about that stuff. I think, like, I was bullied a lot in school for sort of not fitting in and sort of being, you know, I wasn't very girly and I wasn't very masculine. And I didn't know where I sort of fit. Because I felt like there was a big sort of gender divide at school, but when I went to scout, that wasn't an issue because at the time I was the only girl in my scout troop. So it was kind of one of them where it was sort of, you know, I wasn't treated any differently. Like I had a lot of sort of self-esteem issues and like nervousness from just like, you know, again, being bullied and not feeling like I could do things. And, you know, scouting really pushed me and my scout leaders really pushed me to, like, give things a go and just try things out. And I think that's what I needed at that time. When I turned 14, I really began to question my gender. And I came out as non-binary at first, but I didn't really tell anyone in scouting just because at that time I wasn't as invested. Because, again, I was, like, 14, you know, doing all these things. But I sort of... I sort of knew that I wasn't cis. I knew I wasn't cisgender. When I was 15, I think, I got a girlfriend in scouting. So at that time, I was quote-unquote a lesbian.
Yeah.
And it was because of that girlfriend who was sort of beginning to get involved. Youth engagement, that was it. It was that girlfriend who was beginning to sort of get involved in youth engagement that got me involved in youth engagement.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was because of her that I went to meetings with her and started, you know, going to events and kind of becoming more involved. So we broke up, but we've actually remained quite good friends. You know, I still speak to her sometimes and, you know, we're both just dead sound with each other. So, you know, we still went to these things and still did these things. Again, like towards sort of age 16, again, scouting was a really sort of nice escape for me because in school I was dealing with a lot mentally. I was getting sent home for like anxiety and like, you know, just sort of feeling rubbish. I was head girl at school, which was a mistake.
That one hit.
Yeah, but part of it was like, I think thinking back, part of it was there was this girl that was going for it. And this is going to make me sound so horrible, but I kind of wanted to do it to prove I could get it because this girl was kind of like popular. Like we were in the same dance troupe when we were younger and she was always like the front dancer, even though like I could dance. And like she was always sort of the sporty one, the sort of popular one. So part of it was like, I wanted to go for it just to prove that I could get it and to prove like my worth in a way because I'd never sort of felt it before. And then part of it was also to spite her a little bit because her sister got it and now she hadn't. But,
so mean.
But also I think some of it as well was sort of repressing and kind of trying not to deal with stuff because people in school would be like, oh, you're a boy or a girl? And I'd be like, I don't know.
yes, and, is the answer.
Yeah, and, like maybe. But... yeah, so that caused a lot as well. So when I was sort of 16 and in scouting, I sort of began to come out a little bit more and began to sort of explore my identity a bit more. And I was on the British Youth Council delegation from 2016 through to sort of 2018, 2019, when the new community impact group took over. And part of the first delegation in 2016 was scouts wanted to put forward a motion to recognize non-binary genders on the gender recognition certificate. And at that time I was beginning to come out more as non-binary, so I said like, I'll put that motion forward. And I got like so much support from like my peers in scouting, my leaders, and you know, the people that took me there. You know, and there was just so much that people like, you know, just so much happiness and acceptance within scouting that I really appreciated. So from that, I found the confidence to go to college and kind of come out there as non-binary, and then I began to feel a little bit more like male-leaning. And began to identify as male. And, you know, disclaimer, that's not to say that everyone who's non-binary does that. Just for people listening, you know, non-binary people who identify as non-binary are just as valid. But for me, that was my journey, that I began to sort of identify more as male. So that's when I started changing my name to Ben and using he, him pronouns instead of they, them. And I did this in scouting as well. Scouting was sort of one of the first places I began to explore it a bit more. I came out to my explorer group. I came out to like basically everyone. When I went for my youth commissioner role, I came out there, came out to my British Youth Council group, all of these different people. And I, you know, there was just so much support. And at the time, I think I was having, you know, my family were sort of learning to accept it, but like going through those motions of like sort of, you know, grieving, you know, who I was and sort of dealing with it all, which is perfectly understandable. And I think like at the time I didn't really understand what was happening. So, you know, I found it really helpful that I had my scouting family there to sort of like validate my identity and really help with that. And then I started testosterone and everyone was really happy with that, seeing all the changes and things like that. So, you know, when I went to camps and stuff, it'd be like the first time I'd see people since starting testosterone and they'd be like, oh, your voice, it's dropped so much. And I'd be like, oh, thank you. So that was really good. And then recently I got top surgery in December. And again, even though I wasn't as involved in scouting, like, you know, I still have loads of scouting friends on Facebook who are still so supportive and like, you know, were really happy for me, and I kind of keep them updated with my life and they keep me updated with theirs. So I think, you know, scouting's always been there for me, and I've really like had that great sort of family support there, like constantly. And even going back to, you know, my sort of unit back home, I'd go back and be like a young leader there. And I know that they struggled with it a bit at first, being like older leaders who, you know, maybe didn't understand so, like what it meant to be trans, but now they're just brilliant. And they've got like, you know, they are my family, and it was just sort of, I think, a learning curve, as it is for some people, just to sort of like educate and, you know, sort of make them aware of who I am. So, you know, I couldn't thank scouting more. I've never had a bad experience in scouting with my identity at all. I think I've been lucky. I don't know if everyone else has been like this. From a number of trans people who I've met, I've also heard like really positive stories, but I know for some people this is not necessarily always the case. So I do think I've been really lucky with it, but you know, scouting was one of those things that has sort of saved my life so many times. And I told my leaders as well, I said like, without you, I really don't know if I'd be here for like, just, you know, that initial, just even pushing me to do things like, you know, go climbing or camping or things like that. I think that gave me the confidence, which then has transferred into the confidence in myself and the confidence to come out. Yeah. And, you know, I really do sort of credit them for giving me that.
Oh, that is so, that's literally just made my heart like full. Because I came out really late in scouting. My first event as a trans male was NorJam 2018 with Scout Radio. And obviously, I was pre-testosterone. I was literally, in my opinion, I didn't pass at all whatsoever. But all of the team were fantastic. All of the media team, like, no one slipped up. So good.
I just think that's what's really good about scouting. I think, like, in the way that, like, some movements are kind of, like, you know, boys only or, like, you know, girls only. I think that's what I really sort of appreciate about scouting, is because it includes everyone. It's literally, like, and I know, like, guys have made steps to introduce, like, you know, policy for transgender leaders, which is, you know, incredible as well. And I know, like, there's a few transgender people I know who are guide leaders, and you know, I love that. That's what I love about, like, both movements, is like when they say like everyone is welcome, you know, they mean everyone, and especially scouts, they mean everyone. It's not like you're welcome, but you know, if you're trans, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. It's like, no, you're here. And you are one of us now.
Yeah, one of us.
Yeah, one of us, one of us.
Oh dear. You said about Pride. Have you done any Pride with Scouts, or have you just gone as a participant?
No, yeah, so I've done, I did Liverpool Pride with Scouts, and then I did Manchester Pride with Scouts, and then this sort of, I'd say amazing sort of thing happened where there was a Pride in London, and some of the organisers got in touch with me because they wanted a speaker, and I think I was I 18? I think it might have been the summer before I went to uni. Mm. Yeah, no, it was, because I didn't hit a year on testosterone. And I remember it because it was, yeah, I still had sort of blonde, like, I dye my hair constantly, so yeah, I still had really blonde hair.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you're gay, you have dyed hair. It's just a mood, we can't help it. So I was asked to speak at Pride in London in front of people like Tim Kidd, you know, like Alex P. Scatsby, all these people who, because at this point I was really sort of consumed with scouting life, man. I was scouting like, you know, 5 days a week.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, oh, these people are hearing me speak. I get to meet these people who, like, I really admired. And I was just so, it just made me feel so happy. And it just made me feel so, like, such a sense of belonging that on a national level, people wanted to hear my experience. And, you know, I did Pride in London, which I really enjoyed. It was really nice. And I got to, you know, chill with some scouty people. We went afterwards and, like, sat down and had conversations and talked. And that was really sweet as well. So I think I'm just so... And, you know, Pride in Liverpool is great every year. Like, I think I'd much prefer Liverpool than Manchester, because I think Liverpool gives more of a community feel, because you don't have to... You know, you're not sort of given these barriers, like financial barriers to access in certain parts.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I really like, is that like everyone sort of goes into Liverpool, and like it is a big community, and Scotland's very much a part of that as well. And that's what I really like about that.
I think it's time for a song. Mm-hmm. So do you want to introduce your next song?
So yeah, this song is by one of my favourite artists. She's like a bisexual icon. And she's just like really amazing and really just so pure. So this is In the Middle by Dodie Clark. Give it a listen, it'll warm your heart.
The soundtrack to your scouting.
Scout Radio.
What are you doing Friday? Help my world collide. Let's make a bow with all cut ties. Do you want his number? Or shall I be the one to call? I haven't seen him much at all. It could be weird, but I think I'm into it. You know I'm one for the overly passionate. I like you and I loved him. We could all be the best kind of friends. You said you're into closure. Shake hands like you're supposed to. I'll be in the middle, you two get along. You've got so much in common. Talk about your taste in women. I'll be in the middle where you two get along. Hey! Does he smile like I do? Oh, it was shared despite our flaws. I held his hand like I hold yours. Thanks for understanding. Oh, this could be a lot of fun. So break the awkward calendar. Could be weird, but I think I'm into it. You know I'm one for the overly passionate. I like you and I loved him. We could all be the best kind of friends. You said you're into closure. Shake hands like you're supposed to. I'll be in the middle where you two get along. You've got so much in common. Talk about your taste in women. I'll be in the middle where you two get along. In the middle. someone for the overly passionate. I like you and I loved him. We could all be the best kind of friends.
You said you're into closure. Shake hands like you're supposed to. I'll be in the middle where you two get along. You've got so much in common. Talk about your taste in women. I'll be in the middle where you two get along. I'll be in the middle. In the middle.
Hey! Scout Radio Stories.
Every scout will know that they've taken skills from scouting and into their sort of everyday life. I know you're a comedian and a charity trustee, so can you like tell us a bit about this and how scouting might have influenced it, if at all?
Yeah, I think, let's think. So in my comedy, I guess the sort of things that have come from like scouting that have helped me with that is like, again, the confidence that I talked about and the sort of help to sort of, you know, find that confidence within myself and I guess in a way to sort of, because I did so much like speaking and, you know, public speaking and scouting, and a lot of it was scouting where I did that gave me, and I mean, I've always been a performer. I've always performed ever since I was a child. Like, you know, I did dance from like the age of 5. I was always on stage, never off it. So I think that mixed with this public speaking aspect that scouting gave me sort of mm-hmm. gave me that confidence to go forward with that. And then I guess the with being a charity trustee, I think at one point I was like a trustee for like 2 or 3 charities at one point.
Oh wow.
And yeah, and a lot of that experience came from being on like the scouting executive, so sort of, you know, sitting on there and learning about all these different terms and all these different, you know, things like governance and what does that mean? What does, you know, what does a budget look like? What does an annual report look like? You know, how does an AGM work? And, you know, like, for example, I was responsible for presenting an AGM at one point and sort of, you know, moving the different sections along. So I had to learn what all of them were. So it was sort of like, you know, things like that sort of really helped. And then in other aspects as well, like, you know, for example, I did NCS in 2016 with Everton in the Community, which aren't very known for their outdoor adventure aside from football. And you know, I was the only one who could read a map. You know, I was the only one who sort of felt confident doing any sort of like map work or like compass work and things like that. And everyone was like, whoa, how can, and we were in tent like camping there, and everyone else was like, oh, I hate it. And I was like, this is great, like, I'm on a holiday. Like, have you seen these tents? They put them up for us, we don't have to take them down, we've got like, you know, we've got all this space. They put little things down so that, you know, we don't step on the grass, we step on these like grids. And I was like, this is luxury. Yeah, I was like,
I was like,
I am living the life. And everyone else was like, oh, I hate camping. And I was like, this is it. Like, I'm ready.
We've made it.
I think, yeah, and like things like that as well. And like camping, I love camping. And I don't know, it's not like, it's not really transferable like camping, because you are just camping. But I think like it sort of helped with, you know, going places and sort of just appreciating what I've got.
Yeah.
So like, for example, you know, like there's been a few times in Scout, well, Explorers more, where, you know, to get a badge about sleep in a shelter I've made, which was horrendous. But I feel like that's now, you know, if someone says like, oh, you know, like when I did the Fringe, I had to share a bed with my friend in this boiling room, but I just like, you know, you can't complain. I've slept in the rain under a shelter I've made, you know, this is fine. So I think it sort of made me appreciate more the little things and just like doing the smaller things. And
for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I make fires all the time. Like my partner thinks I'm crazy because we have like a fire bin in our back garden where me and my friend, who I also met in Scouts, we met when he moved from a different unit and came to my Scouts, and he's basically like my brother now.
Yeah.
Like, we, you know, we might as well be related. But he comes over and we'll make a fire, and that's because of Scouts. So it's like, you know, that sort of chance to have a social round the fire, like can't talk. I think sort of learning that, you know, it's okay to take that time out and just, you know, chill out and take a break from everything that's going on around you. I sort of learned from Scouts as well. So I don't know, it's just sort of done like everything really.
I feel like if you meet someone, you can instantly tell if they've been a Scout. Like, it's going to sound really weird, but I feel like you, like, Scout people are different to the general population.
Literally. Like,
you just meet
them. I completely agree.
And they exude Scoutness. You're like, yep, yeah, we're going to get on absolutely fine.
Yeah, no, like, this is something I spot in people, and people think I'm, like, weird, because I'm like, are you a Scout? And they're like, how could you tell? And I was like, well, it's like having a gaydar, I reckon. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, you can just sort of spot another person who, like, and you're like, we're on the same wavelength. It's the same with Scouts. Like, you just look at someone and go, you've got a collection of knickers at home and a camp blanket.
Yes.
Like, you know, we'll get along.
We can sniff it out. It's like,
literally,
you can smell it. That campfire, like, smell.
Oh. Or like, yeah, yes. Or the other crazy thing is that, like, everyone knows each other.
Yeah.
Everyone. People go to me, do you know this person's Scout? And I'll be like, yep, we camped here together, or I've been on this camp with them. It's so crazy. And, like, you know, one of my friends who's a Scout in Greater Manchester East, she's called Charlotte, and we met because headquarters were doing this thing with vlogging, like, years ago. It never took off, basically. And, you know, I met her through that, and she was like, oh, you know, my county wants some people to film a camp. And I was like, oh, I'll go and do it. Why not? And we've become really good friends. But, like, every time we see each other, we'll spend, like, ages in spoons. Or, in fact, I'll tell you, this person called Alice, who won't mind me mentioning it. I think she's Greater Manchester North. And so she's like a leader, and we met through doing this thing called Shelter Box that we do in Merseyside, where basically Cubs and Scouts and Explorers, you know, take this box around the city doing like little challenges and stuff to raise awareness for Shelter Box. And I had a youth commissioner base, and Alice helped me on it. So we'd literally only met that day for like, what, 4 or 5 hours?
Yeah.
Anyway, I moved to Manchester, and we decided to meet up. Went, you know, to Wetherspoons, and we sat there for about 3.5 hours just chatting, and we'd only met once before, and it was like we'd been friends for ages. And I think, like, that's what's crazy about Scouts, is that, like, you know, we'd only met once before, and it was as if we'd been friends for years.
Yes, I think it's just like having this, like, innate experiences that you can just bounce off each other and be like, oh yeah, I went there too, and sort of like,
yeah,
you can say, oh yeah, we've been to Gilwell. You're like, oh yeah, I did this there. It's like, you can all just like instantly mesh. And
yeah.
Oh, I love it so much.
Sounds amazing.
We've well and truly gone off of off kilter. But
it's cool. It happens.
should we have another song?
Yeah.
Yeah? Do you want to introduce your next
one? Yeah, so this song is by a really cool lesbian artist called Grace Petrie, I think is how it's pronounced. And this is mine and my partner's song. So my partner's, and like, I think he's one, I think I've only dated a few non-Scouts, and he's one of the few.
Oh, he must be special.
Yeah. He is. And we've been together for like a year, and our relationship is very long distance, and he knows like what scouting means to me, and he knows like, you know, all the different things I do, and like, you know, the reason I have fires and stuff, as crazy as it seems, is like scouts, and you know, he understands how important a part it plays in my life. Anyway, because we're long distance, this song is basically about being in a long distance relationship and, you know, having to leave that other person. And I think it's a really sort of nice song to sort of help us, you know, realize sort of how, you know, where we are, you know, me and my partner, and how, you know, what we mean to each other. And, you know, it's very gay. So
I love that preface. It's very gay. So, you love it.
Very gay. Grace Petrie, Departures. It's gay enough. You'll like it.
The soundtrack to your scouting.
Scout Radio.
morning that you're staring at the crack of dawn. I lie there doing nothing, flinching when the light comes on. And you're checking things against a list to make sure nothing has been missed. Your passport and your boarding pass, you always leave them out till last. And I'm puffy-eyed and I'm not much use, but you manage to be patient as you pass my shoes. Another morning that we're rushing out into the car. The day will come when we leave in enough time, but it's not so far. So in the midst of all of this, I forget to steal a kiss, to hold your hand and tell you you don't understand how you'll be missed. So I hang around till you've checked your bags. You won't get rid of me till security. But you hold your dreams with mine, and I hold yours too, because I will take my chances on your woodshoe dances, 'cause nothing else makes sense the way this does. It's the life we have chosen, it's the life that has chosen us. Take your darling then and let me know you land okay. I'll head back home and watch my phone until I know you got there safe. Then we'll steal a moment now and then to hear each other's voice again, adding up the hours ahead to talk before we go to bed. To the same old love that never quite feel big enough. But we'll do the best we can with faces on a screen, but it's more gigantic than the whole Atlantic and any other ocean in between. Not the love I have chosen, but the love that has chosen me. Keep the home fires burning, darling, waiting for your return. Soon enough the time will come to pack my bags and take my turn. But now I'm out of sky and water, stand between the bricks and mortar, where my true love's flesh and bones, that will always be my home. Chances, I don't have the answers, but we'll work it out as we go on, because it's the love we have chosen, it's the love that has chosen us. It's the love we've chosen, it's the love that has chosen us. So just let me know when you land, okay.
The soundtrack to your scouting.
Scout Radio Stories.
So if you now, as your 20-year-old self, could sit down with your brownie rainbow self, what would you say?
Surprise. That you didn't expect to be in, did you? I think that's how I start. I think that's where it begins. If I could sit down with brownie rainbow self, I think I'd say, look, it's not easy. Nothing's going to be easy. You're not going to, you know, sort of the way these sort of feelings you have, these feelings of not fitting in with people, you know, these feelings of sort of being sort of outside of, you know, what everyone else is doing, you know, this is something that you'll experience for another 10 years or so. This is something you'll experience up until you leave school, and it, you know, it's horrible at the time, and you're going to feel like wanting to, you know, give up, and you don't think you're going to make it to 16, you don't think you're going to, you know, go to university and do these things, but you do. But you go to these places, and in a sense you don't make it, because, you know, the female that you sort of grow up to be doesn't make it. But an even stronger and even more empowered and beautiful man makes it, and it's still you, it's still who you are. You just become more vibrant and more confident and more happy, and people see that in you. And you know, it's gonna be difficult, but you do have a family, and especially like you're gonna go to scouting. You have to go to scouting. I'd say you have to go, because if you don't, you'd be missing out on so much. You'd be missing out on traveling the country. You'd be missing out on sailing around Scotland. You'd be missing out on making all these amazing friends. You'd be missing out on, you know, just sort of finding that confidence. You'll be missing out on so much. So you know, it's gonna be all right. You know, you'll get a beard. You'll go get different surgeries, which might seem really scary, but after it, you're just gonna feel complete. And you know, by the time you turn 20, it's all gonna be okay. There's gonna be a global pandemic, but aside from that, you know, you're gonna be all right. And you know, your family might be difficult at first, in the sense that they don't know what to say, they don't know what to do, they don't know the best way to support you. But eventually, the more you speak to them, the more they sort of educate themselves, the more they realize that they'd rather have you as a happy man than, you know, the depressed girl you were. And just don't go for head girl. It's not worth it. You know, as much as you might want to do it to, like, you know, spite that girl and kind of, you know, show her that you can do it and show everyone else that you can do it, it doesn't even end up on your CV. It doesn't matter. So, you know, don't worry about it. But yeah, just, that's what I'd say to them. It's like, just go do scouting, go find yourself. It's not going to be easy, but you will make it through.
That is incredible. Like, unlike more personal, how far are you testosterone wise?
Yeah, I'm what month are we in now? We're in June, aren't we?
June, yeah.
So it's been 2.5 years on testosterone.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, thank you. It is. And then I'm 6 months post-op as well.
I'm actually so jealous. Like, I went to work yesterday wearing my binder, and I was like, I actually cannot wait. Like,
honestly.
Oh, saving up. Cannot wait.
I've forgotten what it's like. Like, it's so crazy, but I've genuinely forgotten what it's like to wear a binder. And I've forgotten what it's like to have a chest. And I think that's what's really crazy as well.
Did you go down the NHS route, or did you go private?
No, so I had a really sort of rough... I went for a bridging prescription for testosterone, which I'm still on, because leads are rubbish.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I've had my first appointment with them, and that's it. Oh, and I got that a year and 20 months after starting testosterone. And then my dysphoria became so bad that my parents were like, I know I'm really lucky and I'm really glad and grateful. They were like, we'll just help you go private. So I went to Neath Shore in Hull, went to Dundas in London to get my assessment, went to Neath Shore, got the chop, and we're here. Got the chop.
Oh, God. I think it's actually really interesting because when obviously I did research into you before coming on, and I searched you on Facebook, and we're actually part of the same F2M group on Facebook. And I was like, it's such a small world.
Is that a surprise though? Like, is it a surprise? We probably know all the same trans people. Like,
legit.
Honestly.
We are the stereotype. Oh yeah, so and so's trans. Do you know them? Actually, yeah, probably I do.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah, we compared voice comparisons, like we compared belly hair.
Oh no. Oh god. Yeah, because I went private in the end because praise the Lord for student finance. Because I managed to save up enough to go privately with gender care. Ooh. And because I referred myself to Charing Cross in 2018. I think that only just got onto the 2017 referrals. And it was in my it was in my second year of university. I was like, I can't not. Like, and I started, I'm 8 months now. And it came through just at the start of my third year.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming on, Ben. It's been an absolute hilarious afternoon. Honestly, hearing about your journey and your story is empowering. And if you're listening at home, it's all going to be okay. And thank you, Ben, for coming on and sharing everything.
Yeah, thank you and, so much for having me.
Yeah, no worries. So I think it's only fitting that we end with your final song, and if you keep listening, Ask Scout Radio is up next. So Ben, do you want to introduce your final song?
So this song, absolute classic, absolute banger. So this song is I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor, which I think is very sort of relevant to the situation we're in now, and you know, pride and what pride means, and sort of, you know, because we'll survive, we'll get through it. And I think that's what's really great. So, you know, my last song is I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The soundtrack to your scouting.
Scout Radio.
Then I spent so many nights